of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Barton and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Amber Wilson, filling in for Alan Hahn. He's Bart Scott. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can follow me and Bart on Twitter at BartScott57, at Amber W Sports. You can also always give us a call, try to join the conversation, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jimmy Garoppolo, Bart, he reported to training camp, but his days in San Francisco, they're numbered. This is just a formality, right? Like, he reports, he goes through the physical, he's got to do that anyways, whether he's traded or cut and looking for another job here in a few weeks. So he's there in San Francisco, but we know that he won't be in San Francisco long, and Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the Niners, told us as much.
Jimmy understands where we're at. We understand where we're at. Like, I can't tell you how appreciative I have been of Jimmy and him being here, and so appreciative of what he did for us last year. I think Jimmy and we knew what move we made the year before on that. Jimmy did a hell of a job coming to camp and winning that job and taking us real close to the Super Bowl. But we have moved on to Trey. We're starting camp out this way. We think Jimmy would have been traded if the surgery didn't happen, and it did. He needed to do it, so there's no ill will there at all.
So they have all the appreciation in the world for Jimmy Garoppolo, Bart, but they don't want Jimmy Garoppolo to be their quarterback anymore.
Exactly. And that was apparent when they moved heaven and earth to move up to go get Trey Lance. And all that was missing from that speech is, we will rally behind Trey Lance and we will play good football. That's all we need. We're just missing that type of speech, that vote of confidence. Now, be careful, because same thing make you laugh, make you cry. And for a long time, you know, it's been about – Jimmy G, and he's just not good enough. He's at that point. He's kind of at the Kirk Cousin point, like where the mark of demarcation, like anything above Jimmy G is good. Everything below him is bad. Right on the spot is just average. And just imagine where Jimmy G is, and you talk about what could have been. One or two things. If Jimmy G was a little bit more accurate, or if Emmanuel Sanders was a little bit taller, I wish he was a baller. I wish he had a girl who looked good, he can call her. And he caught that pass. We don't have the Patrick Mahomes boys commercials. We don't have anything like that. What we have is the sensation, Val Venus himself. You know, if you look at Jimmy G, he would have been the hottest thing since sliced bread if he just could have made one stinking throw. And look where we are today. He's a guy that has a tremendous winning percentage, but now the 49ers have moved on. They don't believe that they can win with him. He had a very, very team-friendly deal, but we have to move him out of the building because we have to pay Debo and we have to pay Nick Bosa, who is going to break the bank. And every day that goes and every hour that preludes and keep going, the yesterday's price is to not today's price. And that's where we at, Amber.
You can't win with Jimmy Garoppolo. You can certainly win an NFC championship with Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. We know that. You can certainly go to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo.
You definitely can beat A-A-Ron.
Right. Well, several people in the postseason can do that, Bart, though. So I don't know if that's where the barometer
is. The last person he want to see is that five o'clock shadow coming through Lambeau Field, because it has been barbecue chicken whenever he comes in there, no matter how it gets done. It's like he needs a rabbit foot whenever he sees, you know. How about that, though, too? Like, I get it. Like, hey, A-Ron, really, Con Air? Really? Really, dude.
Oh, don't you worry. We will get into that, how Aaron Rodgers looked when he was showing up to training camp. We are less than 5 minutes into the show. We already got a barbecue chicken out of Bart Scott. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn today on Bart and Hahn. So we know from Kyle Shanahan that it is now the Trey Lance era in San Francisco. We frankly knew that anyways. I thought this idea that they should keep Jimmy Garoppolo was just fodder from the media. It was just a talking point for all of us here, because I thought you can't do that. If you're really prepared to move on to Trey Lance, if you're really prepared to hand the keys to the kingdom over, then you need to go ahead and hand the keys to the kingdom over. Also, because you mentioned Debo, and there are other guys on that roster that they need to step up and pay. And right now, they're paying Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's there week one, like $27 million, roughly. So that's all the more reason you don't want him there week one. Debo, by the way, did report to training camp, so he's not holding out. It feels like San Francisco right now is on the same page with Jimmy Garoppolo. It also feels like right now they're on the same page with Debo Samuel. Like, these things are getting done. Jimmy's going to get traded, or I guess cut. And Debo's going to end up getting paid.
Well, I don't. Yeah, if the contract's not guaranteed, they can cut him and it doesn't matter. If that's the case, then that's just them being greedy. Because if the contract, and I have to go check it up, and I should have done
it. It's not guaranteed right now. Okay. The way that the Jimmy Garoppolo, we're talking about Garoppolo, right? The way that the Jimmy Garoppolo contract sits, there's no guaranteed money. If they trade him, he's a $25 million cap hit, roughly, on somebody else's books. If he's there week one, he's a $27 million on their books. But the thing is with Garoppolo, Bart, is he's going to need to restructure that contract in order to facilitate a trade, because nobody wants him at $25 million. That ain't happening. You saw Baker Mayfield, what the Browns ended up having to eat. Well, this is a very different conversation.
Yeah.
San Francisco doesn't have to eat the salary. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to end up having to eat the salary unless he wants to get cut, get $0. Although, in that case, he would have a lot more control over where he goes. So
exactly, and that's exactly the point I was trying to make. You know, if they want to do him, see, this to me is about the San Francisco being a little greedy, trying to get a late fifth-round draft pick, trying to get a sixth-round draft pick, potentially maybe trying to get a player so that they can add some depth. Because when you think about what they gave up to move up to get Trey Lance, they emptied the cupboard for future draft picks. So this is their way of trying to get it back, because if it doesn't go on their books, why don't you just let him go? That way he can handle his own business. He can go facilitate a trade. No. How about that? Or if they're going to facilitate a trade, they want a player back. I guarantee you, if I'm a team, I know that if you trade him, you got to eat some of that salary cap. So how about then I'll pay some of it. We'll split it, much like Cleveland is doing for Baker Mayfield. So this is kind of the 49ers trying to get a little slick. But the best way to have a clean divorce is just to cut him and let him go. That way he can go and they can start from scratch, right? They can start from scratch and he can get what the market dictates that he's worth. The problem is, because it's so late in the process, you know, it would have been a perfect fit for maybe him to sign a 1 year with Carolina. It would have been a great fit for him to sign a 1 year maybe with the Texans. It would have been a great fit for him to maybe sign a 1 year at a very friendly price. The team that would get the biggest discount if I was Jimmy G, Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans would be, because really that is the same formula for success as he's coming from with San Francisco. Run game, play action, and being able to, you know, lean on that great defense. And, you know, you think about the connections with Vrabel, you think about the connections with Tennessee and their management. That's probably the only places I see him being able to fit, unless somebody gets hurt. Nobody wants to bring in a veteran quarterback to be peeking over their franchise quarterback shoulders waiting for an opportunity to play, because now that creates a bad, hostile environment. It has to go somewhere where we know that they don't really have the answer at quarterback. But to do that, what does that say about the winning for Jimmy G?
You want him to Tannehill is basically what he would be doing in that situation in Tennessee. We had Nick Wagner on primetime on Saturday. He covers the 49ers for ESPN's NFL Nation. He discussed how Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to restructure his deal.
I think the other thing that factors in here, why Jimmy Garoppolo's representatives matter in this, is that anywhere Jimmy Garoppolo is going to land, if it's going to happen by trade, it's going to probably, almost certainly, have to come with some sort of a renegotiation of his contract. And people will look at it and say, well, why would Jimmy Garoppolo be willing to do that? Because he's scheduled to make, you know, 20, if he were to go somewhere else, it'd be about $25 million. If it's in San Francisco, it'd be about $27 million. The reason is the 49ers aren't probably not going to pay that, almost certainly not going to pay that. And nobody else is either. And none of that money is guaranteed on his contract. So it would be a situation where he could negotiate a deal somewhere else. And let's say it was $10 to $12 million. Well, he could get some actual guaranteed money out of that, whereas what his deal right now with the 49ers is zero.
So whether he's cut and moving on, or whether he's traded, Bart, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be making a whole lot less money than he was supposed to make this season.
I mean, but you know, you can put it in incentives, and so you can be able to recoup some of that money. He'll never get to 26, but he can probably get to 20. I mean, I would ask to get cut because there's no way in the world that the 49ers will ever trade him to the one destination that has a potential spot, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. But I'm so convinced that Seattle is waiting this year out and making this a reset year, and they want to be one of the worst teams in the league so that they can have first dibs at one of these great quarterbacks that's coming out. That's Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and I forget the other guy. I know it's a three-team race so far, a three-quarterback race. But the problem is so many other people are doing the same thing. I think Detroit's doing the same thing. I think, really, if the Eagles underachieve, they're doing the same thing, right? So when you think about that, the Commanders can definitely be a bad team and be right there. So if you can get
the Texans, to me, people keep linking Jimmy Garoppolo. You did it a few minutes ago to the Texans. They're one of those teams that I'm like, why? I mean, why not just rock with what you have at the helm, and then assuming that it doesn't pan out with Davis Mills, then you're drafting higher in this next draft. That's definitely a consideration for all of these teams. Of course, with Seattle, maybe they're waiting for him to get cut because they're not going to trade him within the division.
Right, right, and that's what I was saying.
And so maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're not actually looking to be bad at that position. Glenn is in Atlantic City. You can give us a call also, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Glenn, what do you have for us on Jimmy Garoppolo? Glenn, you got us? Oh, he dropped. All right. Well, you don't drop. You give us a call. 888-SAY-ESPN. Coming up in about... Yeah, Glenn. Done with you, Glenn. Coming up in about 15 seconds. Your calls on Jimmy Garoppolo. And also, does Mike McCarthy really believe he's not coaching for his job? That's next. This is Barton Hahn with Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn. But first, Bart. Well, actually, no. Not first, Bart. First, Amber. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. That's what I was supposed to be doing. Now you can hit the music, guys.
There we go. It's not enough old and smooth, but it's all good, baby.
It'll smooth out during the show. Don't you worry. I'm just getting started here on Barton Hahn. So I mentioned there Mike McCarthy. Now, of course, all the vets reported to training camp around the league this week, and the Dallas Cowboys training camp always has all the eyes on it, right, Bart Scott? Because it's the Dallas Cowboys. But also because the drama. And for a team that's coming off of a really disappointing postseason, now Jerry Jones is up against his birthday. He mentioned it. He's about to turn 80 years old. He said, I don't have time to have a bad time. It ain't on my schedule. And he doesn't have time to have a bad time, apparently. And I think he had a bad time this past postseason. And you could blame certainly some of that on the head coach and the decisions that he made there in their final run in the postseason. And so there's Sean Payton. He's hanging out. He doesn't have a job. We think he wants to get back into coaching. Jerry Jones not out here making us feel very confident that Mike McCarthy's the man moving forward. But here was Jerry Jones trying to do that at his press conference this week.
I want to be real clear. He wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't think he was the man to lead this team to a Super Bowl. He would not be. And I have choices.
He's got choices, Bart Scott.
Exactly. See, but why did you have to say that? I have choices. And some of the choices are directly on his staff. As you look at Dan Quinn, oh, he's hovering, right? Yeah, let's create an environment where both coordinators are vying for Uncle Jerry's attention. Both of them are vying for that job. Like, when it comes down to it, and it becomes between winning and looking good doing it, wonder what these coordinators are going to do. Wonder if Dan Quinn's going to try and coordinate his way with some sophistication so he can show that he's a head coach and that the guys respond and rally to him. I've been part of those. And listen, I'm not trying to make some type of clickbait and have people reaching out to Brian Schottenheimer. But Brian Schottenheimer was supposed to be, or he was in a running interview for the job, you know, after Eric Mangini left. Rex came in. He was held over to be the offensive coordinator. And we all knew that he wanted to be a head coach, and eventually he was a head coach. But you can't tell me that when we were on first and goal, like, you know, we were first and goal trying to win a game, he got a little cute. He didn't stay with the identity because he wanted to say, look at this great play that he drew up. Mm-hmm. And we got one of the fattest, heaviest tailbacks in the league, first and goal from the one, mm-hmm. to eventually win, to go to the Super Bowl. Threw the ball twice. We were ground and pound. Wasn't you know, you talk about, you know, let's go back to the Super Bowl. I forget what Super Bowl it was, but it was the Super Bowl that had Tom Brady and it had the Atlanta Falcons in it. It had Shanahan. And Shanahan, after Julio made one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history, field goal range. All you do is run the ball twice. What did he do? Next play, want to show everybody how cute he was? Play action pass. What was it? Sack, fumble, right? Another example of a coordinator trying to show his current team and the future team how smart he is. Sometimes it's simple. Keep it simple, stupid. And sometimes when you have these type of environments, you're going to have Kellen Moore because he knows that Dan Quinn was held over. He got paid a lot of money, and he turned down the opportunity to get some jobs because he's probably was promised an opportunity to get that job or have a real shot if Mike McCarthy falls flat on his face. Kellen Moore was Boy Wonder last year. Then all of a sudden, the offense fell off a cliff. You don't think he's going to try and coordinate himself to a head coaching job? Absolutely. So now what you have is you got a lot of guys up there ear hustling and going to talk to Daddy Jerry about what they would have did if they was in certain situations if they fall short. This is a toxic environment, and I'm telling you what, this is not conducive to winning. Damn sure ain't conducive to going to a Super Bowl.
Julio might be catching passes now from Tom Brady. We will get into that at some point here. Barton Hahn, Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn today. Dan Quinn, though, and Kellen Moore certainly had their opportunities in terms of this last coaching carousel, though. Bart, remember, there was like 8 jobs open, and those names were thrown around in darn near every one of them, particularly, as you mentioned, Dan Quinn. And so why would both of those guys return? And yes, maybe there's some promises there or some handshake deals on what they think that they could maybe get done. But then there's this other name hanging out there in Sean Payton, and nobody can ignore that either because everybody thinks with the ties there that that would be the perfect job for him to walk into if Mike McCarthy has the same clock management problems that we have now seen him have numerous times in his career. Mike McCarthy, though, as of right now, is still the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So, of course, he was at training camp in front of the microphones. Here was Mike McCarthy.
It's a huge challenge to be a head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a huge challenge to be a Dallas Cowboy. And I think now being more in tune with that, you know, my daily focus is what affects winning, and that's really where I put my energy and my time into it. You know, you understand the negatives, you know, the narratives that you, it's part of the job.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect the stuff you love with renter's insurance. Visit progressive.com.
Hey, he caught himself. The negative, the opportunities. Yeah, usually when you say something first, that's usually what you're supposed to say. That's what you're feeling. The negative part of the business is Jerry's going to be all up my back, helicopter dad, looking at what I'm doing, challenging everything I'm doing, thinking he's the coach, calling players, seeing what their feelings is about the head coach. That's the negative part. The great part is it's a tremendous brand. It's no state taxes. It's a heritage organization. It's the most valuable team in all of the NFL, and it's high profile. And Dallas is a good place to live instead of having to live in Buffalo or live in Green Bay. Yeah, I name names, and sometimes Cleveland. I'll mention my hometown in Detroit. Dallas is one of the premier spots.
Taking them all out. You're just taking it out.
You're just keeping it all the way real. I mean, those are one of the most. That's one of the best places. Combination. No state taxes or no property taxes, right? Or some whatever it is, no property taxes, state taxes, no state taxes,
no income tax. It's no state income tax.
I'm always paying it, so I don't know what it feels like.
Yo, you're paying all sorts of it up there in New York. I mean, you're paying everything up there in New York.
I think I have to pay at Texas.
Yeah, you probably do. Sean Payton, though, wouldn't have to go to a Green Bay, Wisconsin and live there, right? Like, he would have some options here. He could go to any state that doesn't have the state income tax. He could certainly go to any organization because of that resume. And we know Peyton was linked to the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, we were talking about him being a fit for the job back in the Jason Garrett days, right?
Yeah.
And now Sean Payton's actually out of a job. Like, he's actually hanging out here. And so it does feel like a fit from that perspective. But I wonder, Bart, because of all those negative things that you just mentioned, when you are the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, if you're Sean Payton and you do have all the options in the world, would you want to sign up for that? Yes, it's America's team. Yes, there was the good that you mentioned as well. But do you want to sign up for the stress that McCarthy, frankly, just alluded to in that soundbite?
Sean Payton doesn't have that. Remember, he's a hometown kid, right? He's the one that got away. He's the one that very few times can you say, hey, admit in life that, hey, I made a mistake. I let him go. He should have been the head coach. Look at what he's become. So now if anybody has the resume to be able to come and get the Bill Parcells' treatment is Sean Payton. And when I say that, that says he goes to shop for the groceries. He has to. He's the singular voice, and he's the guy that comes back and make all the decisions. And Jerry, you just sit back and enjoy this winning that we're going to do because we're going to be prepared. We're going to be a professional team, and we're going to really have a legitimate shot with Sean Payton. So I see Sean Payton as well as this job. This is the one who got away, right? He always probably wanted to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He knows more than better than most because he was that coordinator about how Bill Parcells was able to operate with Jerry Jones until finally, like all things with Jerry Jones, it ends in divorce. You know, I think that Sean Payton wants this challenge. He knows if he wins a championship there that, hey, man, that's like winning a championship with the Knicks right now. Like, you will be, like, you'll be etched in stone in Dallas, never have to work a day in your life, and it's the team, he'll be the guy that brought back the dynasty or brought back, you know what I mean, the team that dominated the 90s who hasn't been able to find anything close to that level of success since.
But if he doesn't get there, the amount of stress, the amount of microscope that you're living under,
it's gonna be $100 million. It's gonna be a mid,
breathing down your neck. Oh, he'll be compensated
it's
for it.
Don't
forget.
Right.
So don't forget the Saints will be as well, because the Saints actually hold his coaching rights through 2024. But right. Since he's retired, you're probably talking a modest draft pick that they'd have to throw at the Saints to have them release those coaching rights.
Third,
but
they
would
absolutely, third.
Yeah, there you go, conditional third, whatever. Not a huge deal if you're the Dallas Cowboys, but yes, you would absolutely have to pay Sean Payton. I just think from the Payton perspective, you have all the options in the world, assuming what's actually available. I mean, we talk about the Chargers. We talk about the Dolphins. I have no idea if that job's going
Dolphins
to end up being
in 1 year?
Available. I mean, probably not, right? I mean, that seems unlikely. I think Payton was supposed to be the head coach of the Dolphins, frankly, when all of that went down until that Brian Flores lawsuit was filed. There was a lot of reports. There was a lot of smoke coming out of Miami when it comes to all of that. But if I'm Sean Payton, I'm looking at the Chargers, and given we don't know if that job is going to be available in a year either, but I would maybe sign up for the future of that team with the talent they have rather than dealing with the Jerry Jones situation. If I'm Dan Quinn, it's a very different analysis, though. If I'm Quinn, I would want to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So it depends what situation you're in. I just think Sean Payton is in a unique position where he has so much power and control over where he goes that he would maybe want to think that one through, even if the pay is handsome and even if it's America's team. Yeah. We see your calls coming up, coming in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, we will get to some of your phone calls. Also, the Mets take game one of the much-anticipated Subway Series. We break it down. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn here on Barton Hahn. You can tweet to us at BartScott57 at Amber W Sports. So the Subway Series got going last night, and it was a good night for Bart Scott's Mets, because this Yankees team, it wasn't long ago, Bart, that people were talking about this Yankees team being an all-timer, and today they're not even the best team in New York.
Yeah. Listen, at the fair point, right? And listen, I understand. Listen, everybody wants to talk about the Yankees and their record. And listen, it's tremendous. This is a good baseball team. But when you think about, consider what the Mets have been through, we're now having these full services of two Cy Young winners. I mean, you have to tip your hat to Buck Showalter, who you talk about. You know, I'm so happy that he can represent the older. Him and Dusty Baker has two of the best teams in baseball. Because I hate this ageism that we see right now. You know, thinking that these guys can't figure out how to use a damn email or can't figure out how to read a chart just because it's on an iPad instead of on a piece of paper. You know, so shout out to Buck for showing everybody that, listen, he was the right man for the job. And listen, this team was better prepared. You talk about the plays that were made. There were typical plays that the Mets would not have made. That they made playing smart baseball. You know, meanwhile, you got the Yankees that want to go no risky, no bisky. They want to swing for the fences on 3-0 with the bases loaded, playing hero baseball. That's what I'm talking about. A lot of eye guys over there. A lot of Roscoe Jenkins on that Yankee side.
Right,
the Mets, they play as a team.
Settle down.
I knew Renee was going to.
Roscoe Jenkins over here. Settle down.
I knew Rudy was going to jump.
What do you think about the swinging on 3-0, man? Is that not selfish? Just get it down, son.
I personally didn't like the swing on 3-0. I'm thinking bases loaded, two outs. Taijuan Walker had just thrown seven straight balls. He walked Aaron Judge on four consecutive pitches. He's already down 3-0 to Anthony Rizzo. I'm thinking you take the pitch there. I understand Anthony Rizzo knew he was going to get a pitch down the middle, at least a fastball. But I'm thinking you're already down what? I think they were down, what, 5-2 in that moment?
Yeah.
Just make contact on 3-1. You chip it away at the lead. I think that was the move there.
So you agree that your team is selfish?
I didn't say that. I didn't say they were selfish, but he found a pitch that he wanted to hit. He had the green light. If he didn't have the green light and he just swung for the fences, that's an even bigger problem. But he obviously got given the green light.
I noticed something that I wasn't aware of, right, because I haven't watched a lot of Yankees games lately.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When, oh, how the mighty have fallen. Chapman pitches in the sixth.
Oh yeah, it's not good.
Like Diaz looks like he was the same Husong from Mortal Kombat. Like he's taking the soul of Chapman. He's become Chapman. Like he's the one out there with the bravado. He's the one out there with the 100-mile-an-hour plus stuff.
Mets fans must feel real nice having a closer like that.
Yeah, it feels good, man. And just think, we were thinking that was a bad trade a couple years ago because he struggled. He struggled to learn how to handle the pressure in New York City. But, man, have this guy settled in. And how funny is it, Amber, that the players always settle in when it's a contract season?
It's weird how that works, isn't it?
Just getting right, Aaron Judge. All of a sudden he can stay healthy and he can hit home runs seemingly whenever he wants to.
Right.
Oh, man. Renee, how did you feel about Diaz challenging Judge like that.
It was
no fear.
It was a great matchup. Just absolute. I mean, Edwin Diaz is pitching filthy right now. I mean, the guy has a 51% K rate right now.
Who's the guy that looked like Jared Lorenzen that they got from the Pirates?
Oh, Daniel Vogelbeck.
Man, we need to tell him too. One uniform per person. Listen, the Mets are making moves, man, and, like, I think they should feel emboldened. Now, listen, I understand it's not apples to apples, right? I understand this is –
it's also a regular season game.
Yeah,
you already said Showalter's the man for the job. Like, it's a game.
But the little brothers here, it means something, right? Because they're trying to prove that they're valid, right? Because they know that the Braves are right behind their heels, but they know they have reinforcements. You look at Jacob deGrom, he's taking his last, rehab start. And he'll be there, hopefully, and if he's ready and healthy for the postseason, you're talking about being able to pitch Scherzer and being able to pitch DeGrom twice in a series. That's going to be a tough out for anybody, and I love that they're shoring up their bullpen. You know, the Yankees, listen, this is more for the Mets than it is about the Yankees. The Yankees understand. They're throwing Domingo Germán out there. I mean, they don't have any high expectations. Like Gerrit Cole, the white whale, he's not pitching. So I understand that, but confidence goes a long way. Right, it's kind of like when you finally stand up to the bully and he runs or he says no, I'm cool, but you don't realize that your big brother's behind you and that's who they're running from. It don't matter. Perception is reality, and right now the perception is that the Mets are one of the premier teams in the league, and they're only going to get better. And what I love about it, for the first time in a long time, the Mets have the ability to go to the vault and not the ATM to go get what they need at the trade deadline to be one of those teams that you really consider as a opportunity to win the pennant.
This was the first time that the Interborough rivals both began a Subway Series in sole possession of first place. And the Mets feel pretty good about themselves right now that they're able to beat this Yankees team. It did highlight some potential deficiencies here. As we're up against the trade deadline, what might the Yanks do in terms of going after starting pitchers? We will see that now over the next week. But we'll see more of this series tonight.
Who you want, Renee? Luis Castillo? You want Castillo?
It's actually Castillo, not Castillo.
It sounds better, Castillo.
No, I don't think so. I think he would be very offended if he heard you saying it that way.
Well, you're probably going to get somebody because it seems like they're going to – that they need some sort of jolt, right? Lost five – they're 5-9 in their last 14 games. The Yankees are searching for answers right now. The Subway Series continues tonight, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Coming up next, plenty more to get to. We will also be getting to your phone calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This is Barton Hahn with Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn. Aaron Rodgers spent last season, Barton Hahn.
I feel like I need Barton some aerobic pants. I feel like this I need some aerobic socks on for this.
Yeah, what is happening with this music? This is like very, this is very 80s. Peppy music.
Yeah.
For me to, we're very just, peppy right. talking training, about Aaron Rodgers.
It's training camp side time, man. You're supposed to be thugged out.
Yeah.
It's the dog days of summer. It's a damn heat wave.
I don't know if Aaron Rodgers was thugged out. He was Nicolas Caged out when he walked into training camp. Like, he spent last season trying to look like John Wick. This season, apparently, he's trying to look like Nicolas Cage in Con Air. I mean, exactly like this is doppelganger Nicolas Cage in Con Air. He showed up to training camp, wife beater, white tank top, light blue jeans, long hair. That's down, unkempt. This man looks just like Nicolas Cage. What did you make of this look, Buck Scott?
Randall Cobb, I'm going to get your insulin. I ain't going to leave you, man. Like, I don't know what the hell he's doing, man. Like, I think it's just something that's entertaining for him. You know, it's like he's showing up for Halloween early. but I tell you what, despite that, he needs to realize that, of course, I expect this team to win the division. That's not saying a lot. A-Aaron is under pressure, and the clock is ticking. Like, he alienated one of his number one weapons, Davante Adams. Got tired of putting up the stick. Like, I need to know. I'm asking you, are you staying or what's going on? And you out there meditating in a teepee, drinking some type of herb tea. Yes, some herb tea that's making you vomit and use the bathroom. Like, bruh, like, you could have hit me up on Nextel or chirped me on my walkie-talkie or something. So, listen, so now he's stuck with a lot of young guys, which he's never had a lot of patience with young guys. But now he's got to work, Christian Watson in, and he's got to figure out how to get over the hump. I mean, because there's a lot of good players that's in the NFC, a lot of good teams. And, he's the one that alienated the one weapon that he needed. Defense is ready. He's ready, but he took all the cheese on the taco, so I don't want to hear any complaints about how thin this team is.
Him out here looking like Nicolas Cage and Con Air. He might still have a Nextel. That might be Aaron Rodgers' style. But I don't know if the pressure's really on him, Bart. I understand what you're saying in terms of him taking so long, and it's probably one of the reasons that Davante Adams ends up leaving. But it's not like they didn't offer him the money, and it's not like they didn't have the ability to pay him. Davante Adams didn't want to stay there, it seemed like, in the end. Now, some of that might have been how long Aaron Rodgers took to make his decision. Some of that also might have been that he just wanted to be in Las Vegas with his buddy Derek Carr. So I don't know if Aaron Rodgers, with the departure of Davante Adams, has any more pressure, because Rodgers got that bag, and Rodgers is still the back-to-back reigning MVP either way.
That has yielded him no Super Bowl appearances, no NFC appearances. That's a little better. That's what I'm talking about.
Now we're getting more hype.
Ooh, this brings up a question, too. Oh, maybe a question today. Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. When you think about all the players that were lost to injury last year, who do you guys think? And you guys can hit us up at 888-729-3776 if you have an answer to my question. Who is the comeback player of the year? Because I have mines. I've been saying mines.
Bart Scott driving this ship. Pros pro.
I just grabbed the wheel. I just grabbed the wheel for 1 second. I am back in the passenger seat.
Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN. Who is going to be the comeback player of the year? Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn here on Barton Hahn. We are brought to you by Progressive Insurance. It's a good question. I mean, who is your worst then, Bart? You alluded to it. You've got one. Who is it?
I tell you what, minds are not just hungry for wins. He's hungry for playoff wins and Super Bowl. I'm going Jameis. Jameis coming back. He kicking ass and taking names. And I tell you what, he's coming back, and he has a number one receiver. He has the baddest man coming back. Remember who was Davante Adams first. Remember who was DeAndre Hopkins first. the reigning baddest receiver in the league was Michael Thomas, the first $20 million man. Go out and get a, whatever his name. Hey, Ohio State. We just call him Ohio State. All they do in New Orleans is draft people from Ohio State. And then you go out and get Jarvis Landry, a tough in-between the numbers type of route runner. Alvin Kamara, yeah, I understand they lost Armstead, but Ramchek is a G, and they lose that a little bit. But man, you talk about this offense could be top ten, and we know what this defense is all about. They go out and get the honey badger to teach people how to win championships. He's been playing high pressure football for the last couple of years. Now you bring Marcus May, who would have been one of the highest paid safeties in the league if he hadn't blown his knee out last year, and you got Lattimore already led by DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan. I tell you what, this team has very little holes, and this team owns, not rents, not lease, they own the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, whether it was Drew Brees at quarterback, Trevor Siemian at quarterback, Taysom Hill at quarterback, they have served Tom Brady 4 L's out of 5 appearances.
That's fine. Tom Brady still has a Super Bowl, though, from his time in Tampa. I think he'll take it. I think he'll take that equation. I'm not with you. I don't get why everybody's so high on the New Orleans Saints. Everybody's out here
like
Bart Scott is. No, I feel like it's everybody at our network has decided
I was first. I am Barstradamus, okay, and
you,
I was first.
All right, you're Barstradamus. I'll give you that. I don't understand, though, the mentality that they're not going to miss a beat. When we're going from the Sean Payton era to the Dennis Allen era, they're not going to miss a beat with Jameis coming off of a major injury. It looked good for 6 games.
Okay,
I only saw it for 6 games work. I know what it looked like a heck of a lot longer in Tampa. I don't know if that accuracy is going to be improved.
Oh, Tampa.
Michael Thomas is starting training camp right now on the PUP list.
I don't know
what's happening with Thomas. He's not everybody. Julio, or there's multiple players.
Oh, Julio.
We'll get into that.
Oh, Julio.
We'll get into that. Now, Julio just signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So did they get a little bit better in that regard? But let's stay on the Saints for a second here.
Yes.
Because Michael Thomas, you're talking about a player, he got hurt in what, week 1 last season?
Yes.
Doesn't get the surgery until late. Now he's starting training camp on the PUP list. Is Michael Thomas going to be the same player?
Yes.
Is Jameis going to be able to accurately pass him the ball either way?
Whoa. I tell you what. See, and I love that you said that because everybody got smoke for Jameis. Last I checked, Jameis Winston was the first overall pick, correct? That means you go to
What year was that?
It was like, 5-6 years ago? So that means you, when you were picked number one, that means what? You're going to a bad team. He was in a bad environment, and I say it all the time. Sometimes it's not about the actual seed. It's about the environment in which it grows in. And if you want to talk about will he be able to get the ball to Michael Thomas? Well, last I checked, he had a very good skill set that was able to get the ball to a particular 6'5". Receiver named Mike Evans that was able to go to Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl. He missed that target. Last I checked, Michael Thomas is the same type of target. So let's not disrespect Jameis Winston, because I understand he was under no risky, no bisky, and he turned the ball over. But I tell you what, the ones that he did throw was pretty damn good, to the tune of 5,000 yards. Now, if he can cut those 30 interceptions to 20 or 15.
Oh, good. I'm glad we cut down the interceptions.
Well.
Interceptions. That makes me feel real confident.
Ooh, Amber, I didn't know we were going to have show beef, Amber.
Listen, Jameis Winston, that 2015 draft, Bart Scott, was 7 years ago. You're out here talking to me about, you're the number one pick, so you don't go to a good team. Cool.
But let's
have a conversation with Joe Burrow. He liked to phone in and let you know that it should only take a couple years. It doesn't need to take 7. Or the guy who replaced Jameis Winston in Tampa would probably like to give us a call and have something to say about it. Because, by the way, one of the reasons that the greatest of all time even came to Tampa, Bart Scott, was because they arguably had one of the best receiving corps in the entire NFL, if not the best one.
And
Jameis had weapons.
Whoa.
Couldn't throw the football accurately to those weapons.
And then Terrific Tom did what? He came in and said, give me Gronkowski. Okay. Give me Leonard Fournette. Okay. Then he said, give me Antonio Brown. So don't act like he kept the weapons that Jameis had. It looked to me like he added a whole bunch of weapons that he wanted as well. Like, he went out and played general manager, right? And listen, when you talk about Jameis Winston, remember what we used to say about Matthew Stafford not being elite? Oh, he changed the environment, and look what happened. Remember people were saying he wasn't a top 10 quarterback? He wasn't a franchise quarterback? Who said it, though, Amber? I did. Barstradamus predicted on the show last year.
Matthew Stafford was on a team in Detroit, though, that it's not like the next guy went in there and won a Super Bowl. available. In fact, Matthew Stafford got shipped to the team that other dude had also taken them to a Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford walked into the right situation. Jameis Winston was already in the right situation at the end of his time in Tampa when he was wildly inaccurate.
It was starting
record interception numbers.
Yeah, but 5,000 yards.
Final year.
5,000 yards, too.
Final year.
5,100 yards in a 16-game season he threw for that, too. But understand, he still led that team to 7-9. So you don't think the greatest of all time is plus +3 on the war? Of course. That's all. Tom Brady, with those same weapons and all the other people he brought in, he won 3 more games than Jameis Winston did the year before. I would think that the greatest of all time could be a plus +3 no matter what team he went to. If you take Tom Brady, you take him to any team, not none, with A-Ron, it's going to be plus +3. So that's not saying a lot. Like, Jameis Winston was taking care of the football last year. Unfortunately, he got injured.
It was
but
six
you talk about he was trending in the right direction.
He also had Sean Payton at the helm.
But
is it going to look the same with Dennis Allen?
Is it going to look the same with Todd Bowles?
We're losing a Hall of Fame coach, and we're just not going to miss a beat. I understand Dennis Allen's been there. And Bruce Arians, we're missing
a Hall of Fame coach. It's apples to apples because Todd Bowles is not a head coach. Last time we saw Todd Bowles, he had Sam Darnold, and it didn't go so well. He had Ryan Fitzpatrick. It didn't go so well. So the same argument you can make about the Saints, I can make about Tampa, because they lost a Hall of Fame coach, a Super Bowl winning coach, and he's no longer
but Tampa
in the
has
building.
The greatest of all time. I don't even know who the New Orleans Saints has under
center. They got the
center. Same coordinator. Call 888
say ESPN. Going, Amber,
I
now you
see
got
you, Dennis.
High. Let me get my
Byron, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, we will get to your calls on the call-in line. Plus, Patrick Mahomes, is he a top-tier quarterback? An anonymous player doesn't think so.
Usa.